curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I am Carla Sones, and I'm here today with Ron Kitchens for part two of a conversation that we started on last week's episode that's really focused on high performance teams. So we launched into that last week. So if you missed it, you're going to want to go back at some point and re-listen to last week's episode on how to build your high performance team. But today we're going to launch into really how do you measure your high performance team and hold that team accountable for continuing to excel as a high performance team through what we're calling best places to work awards. It doesn't always have to be a best places to work, but some type of measurement that makes you reflect and stay accountable to continuing to grow and to change and to innovate how your team is performing. So Ron, welcome. Thank you for being here with us again today for part two of high performance teams. And I'm going to just kick it off with a question to you. When I first started at Southwest Michigan First, there was already a lot of hardware on the wall for your team's performance. And we kept collecting more and more. And it really became very apparent to me very early on that it really wasn't about the trophy. It was really about the process of writing what you had accomplished and learning from the best on how you can innovate to stay relevant and to continue to better your best. So why does this process matter so much to a high performing team?
It's a great question. It's great to be here. I love hardware, and it isn't for the trophy. We've got boxes of those things in the basement of our offices that, you know, never see the light of day. But it's this idea that how do we know we're any good? So, you know, we set goals and we achieve those goals, but how do we know that we're better than the marketplace? How do we know that we're using the resources that we have in a way that we get more benefit out of those resources than does the normal organization? And if you're in a business, you know, with publicly traded companies, you can see the stock return, you see their annual reports, you can measure yourself on numbers that you can trust your performance versus theirs. So you know how you're doing. If you're part of a franchise program, whether you're a car dealer or a Subway sandwich shop, the home office is giving you data so you can compare your costs, your revenue, your performance per man hour versus the others. But those of us who don't live in those two worlds struggle with how do we know that we're achieving at an elite level? And so as we went on this journey of trying to figure this out in a world where we can't get data that we trust or people don't want to share data, it can't just be on winning awards for a pretty brochure or a website or those kind of subjective things. And so we looked for those measures, and what we found was these annual programs, the first of which we took advantage of was the Wall Street Journal had a program called Winning Workplaces. And they had set up a group of measures that said, these are the habits of the most highly successful organizations in America. And it gave us benchmarks to work against. And we were in their top 30 or 35, I don't remember which at this point, organizations in America to work for in terms of the output and the performance of our organization versus others. And it really put us on this journey that now we've been recognized by the 101 best places to work in America as both one of the 101 best to work at in America, but also the best small business in America to work for by them twice, I believe. And Outside Magazine, which really speaks to the millennial and younger Gen X who we're recruiting and retaining with our organization, has ranked us in their top 20 on three occasions. And I think we were number three in one of those years. But so we not only get that validation that what we're doing, but we also get reports back that said, here are the areas that we measure, and here's where your performance is outstanding. And here are the areas that you're not in the elite category. Now, it's important to note that this is both self-reporting in that we do a proposal, if you will, but that they're also interviewing 100% of our employees and asking them, does the organization really do this? What do you like best? What do you like worst? And so we know without a shadow of a doubt how our team members rate our organization. And then, you know, the side benefit to all this has become that we now have a new set of peers that are beyond just our industry peers or our local peers, that we're now talking with organizations all over the country about what great looks like. And we're getting ready to build out new offices. We're talking with those that are rating above us on that about what great looks like. Our team on HR, which we call engagement, our engagement team is interviewing our peers on some calendar and benefit issues that we think we're not as tight on as we could be. So we'll know what the best to do, and we can emulate them on a daily basis.
So Ron, I heard you say that you love the hardware, but it's really not about the hardware to you anymore. It's really about that continuous improvement and the fact that you're getting reports back with real-time data on how you're stacking up against not only others, but how your team members are kind of rating the team in terms of upholding what they view as that high-performance team or that great place to work. I also want to say one of the things that I've really respected about the organization and its attempt to stay current is that there have been times that we have applied for awards that really stretched us. We've been very intentional, or you have been very intentional as the point leader, in saying that in order to stay relevant, we're not going to keep applying for the same awards, or maybe we do apply for some of the same awards, but we're going to go after other awards that force us to think through things a little bit different, that studies where the workforce is going. And you referenced that Outside magazine, and that was one that our team had to really think through that year. What could we be doing better in order to make this list? Because it's very different than some of the other lists. And why does the team keep pushing to do that, where you're innovating not just in the workplace that you've started, but really looking at how the world is shifting? What was your strategy behind doing that?
So it's really about relevancy. If you look at Outside Magazine, we're the only economic development consulting firm that is on that list. It's highly creative organizations. It's organizations. I think we're even the only Michigan one. It's a lot that live in environments that are outside focused. It's Roanoke, Virginia, and Boulder, and these cool places. But we know in a world where we're competing for the best talent, it's critically important that we meet those standards. We're also always looking for ways that we can validate our own practices to know whether we're really relevant and moving the ball down the field. One of the areas that we're too small to compete in, but we always self-evaluate again, is the annual survey for companies by Working Mother. And because we know we're an organization that 60 or 70% of the people in our organization are women, and our entire management team, with the exception of me, are women. And that if we're not the employer of preference for women, that they in mass will leave us. And so we've got to make sure we're meeting the highest standards. You know, we call it our better angels, of meeting those and achieving against that. You know, I think it's the reason, you know, we're the only economic development group that's ever been recognized by Fast Company magazine as one of their annual Fast 50. It's because it's constant, continuous improvement. We got to change our best every day. But how do you know which way to change it? Well, by participating and competing in this. And most of the time, the things that we compete on, we're requested to compete. We're not just looking for something we can win. There's a lot of things that we could win that we do not do. Because if I'm one, I don't want a participation trophy. And two, I don't want to win something that's meaningless to the marketplace. And so it's critical that we're competing in things that our board of directors who manage, and I think the last time I saw, our board has about 400,000 employees between them. And so they are very large, very impressive organizations. And when they're on the same list as us, it gives them a respect for us. But a lot of times they'll send in their teams to say, hey, how are you doing that? And let us see what the journey looks like for you, because there's ways that we can emulate that too. That's when you know you've made it, when your peers and locals come and say, we want what you have, will you share?
Yes. And that teaching version of a economic development organization is something that you've talked a lot about, and really being able to share the success that you've had as kind of your legacy, which is really incredible. And I just want to talk a little bit, because there's a lot of times individuals come on to our team or are a part of this journey with us, and they miss that point that there's a lot of strategy involved in select, that we're not just saying we want to be on Outside Magazine's list. It's we need to be able to be more attractive to the upcoming workforce, because we know that talent and having the right individuals on that bus, which we talked about on last week's episode, is absolutely mission critical in order for us to stay relevant and for us to meet our goals. And so what are the mechanisms that we can do and the strategies that we can put in place in order to make sure that we're able to retain that talent when we have it and also recruit the best talent when we need it? And these lists can become that.
Yep. And it's important to get the data from the lists because, for instance, I believe the year before last, we were number 3 on Outside Magazine's list. And this year we dropped to number 20. And for me, that was a absolute red light. Okay, what's going on? Did the competition get better or did we get worse? And when we went and looked at the data, we got worse. In particular, we got worse on the group of questions around this idea of communications and I know what's going on and I'm part of the decision-making process. Well, as an organization, we're in a huge growth mode and we were going very, very fast and we weren't doing a good job of communicating that across the organization. And so it told us immediately what we needed to begin to do. And so we put in on every Tuesday at Scrum, myself or a member of the management team spends 10 or 15 minutes on a specific topic or area where we have change and growth going on. And it's our why we're doing that. Here's what's going on. Here's how we're communicating that. And you could see and feel the tension begin to evaporate. Now, it's not something we can quit doing now. It is, as Bill Hybels says, you know, communications is like a giant rubber bucket that the more you pour in, the more it stretches, but it also has a hole in it. So you have to compensate for that too. And so, but without having real-time data that tells you where the problems are and being competent and confident enough as a leader to look at that data and not be defensive, but to see it for what it is, you can find your organization evaporating for something as simple as just communicating a little better once a week. That's why you do these things. And that's what the hardware represents, is the validation of leadership's willingness to embrace the best of the best when it comes to these practices.
So it's not about the hardware, it's about the journey, is what you're saying. The journey of saying this is where we're trying to go. These are the people that we need to have in order to get there. And this becomes part of the process of making sure that you're on pace, keeping up with the rest of the world, attracting the best talent. It really is a mission critical opportunity for the organization to validate and continue to evaluate how you can put practices into place that help you reach your goals, which for an organization that is so focused on really important mission for the vitality of a community, there's something that's really settling to funders to know that this organization is really taking good care of what direction it's going and really investing those dollars into continuing to innovate and get better at what they're doing so that it doesn't become something that's irrelevant and gone tomorrow.
Nope. I think you're dead on. And also ensuring that, you know, a typical organizations in the consulting world, whether that's economic development or, you know, law firms, accounting firms, advertising agencies, people-centric businesses, between 50 and 75% of all their expenses are going to be human resource expenses. And by focusing on making sure that you have an expense that's producing the maximum amount of impact, as well as retaining the best asset management that looks like the best manufacturing companies. We're just manufacturing great people who are then producing incredible results. And you can only do that if you know what you want, where you're going, who you're going to do with, and then you feed the energy of that. And that's what having a best places strategy truly looks like. It really is Miracle-Grow for your organization.
Yeah, I love that analogy of the manufacturing, because we all can think about being in a manufacturing facility and seeing products coming out and being looked at and inspected for, was this the most effective way to build it? Are they coming out and they're of good quality? And that quality improvement process is a bottom line foundation of asset management for any organization. But sometimes when you get into that human development, or you're working on something that's not producing a product, but it's producing great impact, you lose that way to measure that quality improvement. And this can become that, as well as a recruiting tool of how to continue to have the best humans a part of that journey with you.
Absolutely. And from a recruiting standpoint, I interviewed a candidate Saturday morning for breakfast. We met for breakfast, and this person brought up the Best Places Award no fewer than three times. And they had gone on and looked at the comparisons to the best organizations and made the comment that, I didn't think I could move to Kalamazoo, Michigan and get that level of organizational commitment that I could have gotten in Cincinnati or Dallas or Chicago. I didn't know I could work for the best in a smaller metro area. And that was really surprising to me, but it was enlightening too that, you know what, we are doing it at that level, you know, and then, you know, not this is the reason to do it, but it is amazing the number of times that we show up on one of these lists and my phone rings from a headhunter who says, hey, I want to hire you to come run this new organization. And, you know, the last one was a publicly traded company on the West Coast that their board has decided they're going to focus on talent first rather than product first. And so the world is beginning to recognize that people are the greatest asset. Without it, there's no hope.
Yes, that's so powerful. So this concludes our second episode on high performance teams and best places to work. Ron, are there any parting words of wisdom that you have for leaders who are attempting to build and to maintain and to now measure their success in building high performance teams and organizations?
So it is scary because when you hire amazing people, you got to get out of the way. And for a leader like me who's built an organization, who's done every job in the organization, it can be intimidating to hire amazing people and just become the coach or the general manager, not the player coach. But that's what you've got to do. And you know, there's an old saying, A's hire A's and B's hire C's. And if you want to be an A place, the best place to work in America, in your industry, in your community, as a leader, you're probably one of the impediments that you've got to get out of the way. And so search your heart, search your capacity, ask your trusted team members what you could do to help them be more engaged. And then find yourself a great coach around engagement. You know, Carla, I know you do lots of work around that. You've even got some webinars going around this idea, but find somebody that can help coach you through it, because you're going to have problems pop up you haven't seen. Have somebody who's seen them before that can tell you that's the norm, or yeah, we better adjust where we're going. But believe the data, believe your coach.
Well, thanks as always for imparting some wisdom on the listening audience today, Ron, and we will talk to you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.